depressed up in Virginia last week. Came again, drove in there about 5:30 on Monday. And by the time Friday rolled around, the hills of old Virginia just looked like a living flower pot. It was just beautiful. And I hear it a lot of times. I hear it sometimes from church people. And they'll say, let's go to the mountains and let's look at the leaves. Well, I don't mind that, just as long as it isn't Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. I don't mind you going looking at the leaves at all. But I'll tell you what I believe if we'll go look at the leaves that I'm going to share with you tonight from the Word of God. By the way, the Bible has a great deal to say about leaves, whether you're aware of that or not. And yet I hope in reminding you and sharing with you a few of the things the Bible says about leaves, I hope that as you look at the leaves this fall, and I hope you're not blind to all the beauty of God's creation, I hope you will be reminded of some of the truths that I'll share with you right here in the service this evening. In fact, I believe that all of creation has been given to us to remind us of God, to remind us of the Creator. So sad that often men worship the creation and the creature rather than the Creator. I think I told you once while I stood up in the country of Canada late one evening at the motel, and I walked out looking at that beautiful sunset. There's a fellow with a funny little French cap on, you know, those things look like, these green berets wear, but anyway. And I thought, well, here's an artist, and sure enough, he was. And I got talking to him about the sunset, one of the most beautiful things I think I remember seeing. And he'd say, now watch this. He'd say, in just a few moments, the hue of that rainbow will turn to an orange. It'll turn from that to a purple, an indigo. And as I stood there watching him, and he had said once in a while, isn't that something marvelous? Isn't that something beautiful? And I said, you know, that's exactly right. I said, that's one of the most beautiful things. And I said, you know, it reminds me, and I think of, when I see that, I think of the artist. He said, the artist. I said, yes, sir. I said, my Heavenly Father painted that. And I said, you know, you're an artist. And I said, how would you feel if people just admired your painting, but they never recognized you as the painter of that beautiful work of art? And he said, brother, I'd rather be disappointed. And I wonder if our God is not sometimes disappointed when we look at creation all around us, and yet we are not reminded, nor do we give thanks to God who created it for the bounty of His blessing on this planet Earth. Well, I want us to look at the leaves for a few moments. First of all, I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 6 and 7. And here is the first mention of leaves, as far as I can tell, in the Bible. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6 and 7. And here you'll find that our forefather Adam and our mother Eve somehow misappropriated the purpose of leaves. You remember in this third chapter of Genesis, Adam and Eve had sinned against God. They had disobeyed the Lord's explicit express command. For God had said, of all the trees of this garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of. And yet Adam and Eve sinned against God, and as a result plunged themselves and all of those of the sons and daughters of Adam who would follow until this day into a state of depravity. We are born into this world with that streak of depravity in us. The Bible said as soon as they are born, they go speaking lies. And all of us know how a young'un can lie to us. I'll not go into that. Even a baby can. And yet again, we are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. When we take that God has created and apply it in the wrong way and use it for the wrong purpose, it becomes a dishonor to us rather than an honor by reason of using it the way God would have us use. Now, the Lord never intended that fig leaves should be used as a covering for the nakedness of man. I will have to say this, however. I think some folks, don't wear as much in our day and time as Adam and Eve had on when they put the fig leaves on. Amen. You're welcome. Help yourself. And so the whole story is, isn't it a sad thing that ever since God tried to put clothes on man, the devil been trying to take them off? Huh? You ever notice that? And one of the signs of demon activity, I really believe, is the nakedness of the human race. I really believe that. You remember that old demon-possessed fellow who lived up in the graveyard, and when the Lord cast the demons out of him, remember this? The Bible said when the demons were cast out of him, the disciples looked, and this fellow was seated at the feet of Jesus and in his right mind, I'm sorry about this, and he is clothed. And so the devil has been trying to take clothes off everybody ever since. I believe it's a shame to expose nakedness, especially if you're a child of God, to say the least. And so then Adam and Eve took the fig leaves and they tried to cover their own nakedness. But that was not sufficient. The Lord knew the only thing that would cover man's nakedness and shame and sin was the sacrifice of blood. And the Lord slew an innocent animal, made coats of skin for Adam and Eve, put them on them, and thus they were made acceptable in the sight of God. And that very act of God in the book of Genesis prophesies, in a sense, the coming of the Lamb of God, who would be, whose blood would be shed for our sins, and who himself would be a covering for our sin and for our unrighteousness. So as you look at the leaves of the Garden of Eden, you find that they were misappropriated. And I think leaves have been misappropriated as well. If people go out instead of being faithful to the house of God on the Lord's day and go off looking at the leaves on the mountain, I don't think that's right. I don't think anybody that knows anything about the Lord could say otherwise either. None of that, but I want you to look at some other leaves. Look at the fading leaves the Bible talks about. The fading leaves. Look in Isaiah 64 and verse number 6 for just a moment. Isaiah 64 and verse number 6. A verse that I think you'll need to remember. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says this. Remember this? But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, our good deeds, our good life, in the sight of God, are as filthy rags. Man boasts of his morality, his religion, his good uprightness, and yet God said, it's a foul, filthy rag. And yet we've become so proud of our religious life, of our morality, and of our uprightness, thinking somehow that's going to merit us something in the eyes of God. My friend, there's salvation only in the precious Lamb of God. Jesus said, I am the way, and no man will come to the Father but by me. Finish the verse. And we all do what? Fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Here, the Lord is talking about self-made righteousness, our goodness. And he said, you know how, what's going to happen to our self-made righteous? Going to fade like a leaf. Oh, listen, people, look at that self-righteous fella, upright, decent, yet who's never been born of the Spirit of God, and they'll probably applaud him and say, boy, isn't that a wonderful guy? Oh, he's upright, he's straight, and he's just a good old boy, and he wouldn't do a harm, do any harm to flee. He's a good neighbor to have. But I'll tell you something, when you meet God, all of that goodness will fade like the leaves. It'll die, and the wind will blow them from the trees. Again, then in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah talks about it. Look in chapter 8 of Jeremiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, right on over the next book. And look at verse number 8. Turn there in your Bible and see this. Jeremiah 8 and verse 12 and 13. And the Bible says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. That's a description of our day, is it not? Men today can sin. They have no sense of shame. They boast of their sin, get on television, parade it. All the perverts and the transvestites and the transsexuals and the prostitutes can get on television, and they have no sense of shame. And then he said, were they at all ashamed? Neither could they blush. Therefore, they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I've given them shall pass away from them. That's the result of sin, you see. And the Bible said you indulge in sin and your life's going to be just like an old fading leaf. It's going to fade out. The pleasures of sin don't last, folks. The devil has such an allurement through that. And wrongdoing may give you a sense of a high and give you a rush and give you some kind of 4th of July firecracker kind of sensation. But I've got news for you. The pleasures of sin will pass away just like the fireworks on the 4th of July. They'll fade as the leaf. And then I want you to look at Leviticus 26 and verse 36, and you'll see what I call the fearful leaf. The fearful leaf. This is strange. Leviticus and the 26th chapter, the 36th verse. Look at this, if you will. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. I like to forget where it was myself. All right? I'll give you time to find it too. I had to go through it again. Start singing that alphabet song. All right. Leviticus 26 and verse 36. You got this? All right. Here it is. Leviticus 26, 36. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. And the sound of a shaking leaf shall chase them. Now, if at time we could look back here in the earlier verses, and you'll find such things as in verse 23, if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. Verse 26, the last sentence, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. In other words, the Lord is warning his people about a life of disobedience, a life of sin, a life of self-centeredness, a failure to walk with God. Now then, when that happens, and when you're not walking with God, you know one of the things that will happen? Fear. Fear. When Adam and Eve sinned, remember this? And the Lord came searching for them. And he said, he found them, what's gone wrong? Why are you hiding here? And the response was, when we heard thy voice, we were afraid. And we went and hid ourselves. Do you see, sin always brings fear in the heart. It's one of the outgrowths of sin and rebellion against God. And you see, God can't walk with us and fellowship with us as long as we're indulging in known sin in our life. And so then, the shaking leaf. Here's a fellow walking through the woods, and all of a sudden, there's fear in his heart. And he hears the wind hit a little leaf, and it rattles. And boy, I mean, he ducks and heads out. I remember, having read some of those Foxfire magazines? You seen those? There's a story in one of them about my grandfather when he was dating his wife, my grandmother, to be at that time. And he had to walk all the way across, down through Nantahala Gorge, and all the way back over there. And they said that he went over to see her, didn't have but one tie, so he put it on that night. And went over, and lo and behold, he stayed at his girlfriend, grandma's house, a little too long. And dark was coming along, and he yet had about, 8 or 10 miles to walk, and back over that old wilderness in Nantahala, and all kind of fierce beasts in there he was aware of. And he said he was walking along and heard something behind him, heard a crackle in the leaves behind him, a limb break. And he started getting a little faster, you know, just started picking up his pace. And first thing he said he knew, he is running. And that tie he had on got over like this on his shoulder. And he had run in so fast, the wind has given it that. And he said, I was sure that panther was going to jump on me and tear me all to pieces. Here's a fella running when all he heard was the limb crack behind him and the flopping of the tie like caused him to run himself to death. Now, folks, I want to tell you in all seriousness, sin will bring fear in your heart. in the least little thing. You'd hear some crackpot come along and say, hey, I figured it out, and Jesus is coming on the 13th day of this month at such and such an hour. And boy, people get fearful. Oh, Lord, is he coming? Listen, that wouldn't be, if he was really coming and you were ready, you'd be saying, hey, I'm going to get my chair and sit out here and wait for him. I'll have the band strike up a tune, and I'll welcome Jesus if you're right with God. But if you've got sin in your life, you know what'll happen? You'll get afraid. You'll get afraid. And so you hear the thunders of judgment, and you hear the tones of God's expressions of wrath, and it brings fear to the heart if you're not walking with God. And so when you go up in the mountains and see the wind blowing those leaves, just remember this, that if you're walking with God, the shaking leaf won't bother you. The sound of the gun won't bother you. The sound and the threat of war rumbling in the distance in places around our world. Oh, there'll be a calmness. There'll be a calmness, a peace that our Lord gives in the heart. There is as well in Psalm chapter 1 a mention of the unfading leaf. The leaf that will not fade. Look there if you will just in a moment. And Psalm, the first Psalm, and you remember it well. Psalm 1 and verses 1, 2, and 3. Listen to these words. Hope you remember this. And the Bible said like this. When you go up and see those leaves that are turning, you know, their color comes because they're dying. They're dying. You know what, Christian friend? You'll have a greater color for Jesus when you die to yourself too. Oh, the beauty of a man or a woman who's lived his life long with God and walked with God. And in old age, there is a certain radiance of beauty about him that he never had in the springtime of his life. Why? He's learned to walk with God. He's learned to trust God. He's learned to lean on the Savior. He's learned and believes that all things are working together for good to those who love the Lord. Sickness, death, accident, whatever. There's just a beauty about him. A beauty about him. And so Psalms talks about it like this, verse 1 of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. If you want to be a beautiful, fading, fall-colored leaf in your life, embrace verse 2 to your heart. Take that to your heart. But his delight, delight yourself in the word of God, the promises of God, and meditate in it day and night. And watch verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Watch this. His leaf also shall not wither. He's tapped on to the right source. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. My, isn't that wonderful? I don't want that fading leaf. I don't want my life to pass off without the Lord being glorified. And then over in the book of Ezekiel 47, I want you to look one more time. Ezekiel 47, and boy, we're getting an exercise in flipping through the Bible, and that's good for us. Ezekiel chapter 47 and verse number 12. Ezekiel in his prophecy is describing the temple in the future kingdom. When our Lord sets up his reign upon this earth, and he will, I guarantee you. At verse number 12, look at this. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat. And watch this. And the leaf thereof for medicine. All the healing leaves that our Lord has for us. I want you to turn to one other verse on that. Look in Revelation chapter 22. As John describes that beauteous, wondrous place of ours who are children of God, that place we're headed, and he's trying to describe best he can for us that wonderful place, the new Jerusalem, the new paradise, and he says this in chapter 22 and verse number 1. If you got it, watch it. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. Imagine. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. the healing leaves. Oh, when you look at those leaves up there, remember this. Remember this. That our Lord is the Lord God who heals. He heals the sin-sick soul. He'll heal the very tragedy and the malady of this world as we come to Him and make Him first and put Him first in our life. Well, you'll see an abundance of leaves. There are all kind of leaves in the world. And just as there are all kind of leaves, there are all kind of Christians in the world, all kind of people. Now, let me mention just about three of them. There's what is known by the botanist, Brax, B-R-A-C-T-S. Gerald, you were earth science. Anyway, that's a very special kind of leaf, Brax, a special kind of leaf. It grows just below the blossom of plants. Grows just below. For example, you'll see them on daisies, regular daisy. You'll see them on asters. You'll see them on thistles. You'll see them on goldenrods. You sensitive people, I know you don't want to see that. But bracts are found there. Bracts often seem to form neat little cups or vases in which the flower heads grow. Bracts of some dogwoods, for example. We're familiar with the dogwood. Bracts of some dogwoods grow so large and are actually so white that some people think they're flower petals, although they're only white leaves. The flower of the dogwood is held inside of those bracts. The true dogwood flowers are those tiny little yellow clusters in the center of the white leaves. Now, don't anybody come up arguing about that. Go home, read the encyclopedia. That's where I'm getting this. Or call him up and fuss him out about it. But anyway, that's what I'm talking about. Bracts. Bracts. And we look at those little white things on the dogwood, and we say they're a beautiful flower, but in reality, it's a leaf. So the bracts, actually, of a poinsettia, seem to make large flowers, and yet beneath the very small yellow flowers. That's a strange leaf. And yet, let me make an application of that. The purpose of the bracts are literally to enhance the beauty of the flower. And in doing so, they bring beauty to themselves. Think of the dogwood. Think of the poinsettia. I think of Psalm 35 when I think of this. Psalm 35 and verse 7 says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause." Watch. "Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." As a leaf, you know what our purpose is? To enhance the beauty of the flower. That beautiful rose of Sharon, that beautiful lily of the valley, our Lord Jesus Christ. So our lives and what they are ought to enhance in the eyes of the world the very beauty and the wonder of our Lord Jesus. Psalm 34 and verse number 3, "And David cried, Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us do what? Exalt, lift up His name together." That's what John did. John, you remember in chapter 1, verse number 36? When John saw Jesus, behold, he saw Jesus walking down the roadway. And at verse number 36 of John chapter 1, you'll hear John saying, behold, the Lamb of God. Hey, let me ask you, look at something else. Look at John chapter 3 and see John's action here. In the third chapter of John and verse number 28, here's what you read. John 3 and verse number 28. And the Bible said, this is John speaking. "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ." Why, he's saying, I'm not the flower. "But that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice." Watch this. "This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." The beauty of the flower. As we die to ourselves, as we fade, ah, the flower encased in that vase or that brack of our life, that little cup of life. And Paul talking about us having this treasure in earthen vessels. I think again Paul had something of the same thing in mind when he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. And he said, and whatsoever you do, do all to what? Tell me. To the glory of God. Whatever you do, wherever you go, the kind of words you speak, the kind of attitudes you have, the kind of emotions you display, let it magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there are others, other leaves, not just to enhance the beauty of the flower, but there are leaves that keep the plant warm. Leaves that keep the plant warm. I found this interesting. The flower, known as the skunk cabbage. I don't know where in the world I got that name. And that again, I guess I do. When Pat cooks cabbage and covers it up, and then I come in 2 hours later and take the lid off, I can understand. But we're not talking about the kind of cabbage we grow here. But the skunk cabbage is surrounded by a most unusual leaf. Are y'all listening? The plant actually grows in cold, swampy places in late winter when the nights are actually freezing cold. The leaf on that cabbage looks like a heavy hood, and it protects the plant. It acts actually like a tiny heating unit. It's speckled with little red spots. That's it. That let the red rays of the sun filter through and warm the pocket of air on the inside of that hood where the flower is. Through those little holes, those red spots on the leaf, sun comes out of it. As a result, the inside is warmer than the outside surrounding. Jack, you ladies, you flower folks know you flower people. You know the Jack in the pulpit, same thing, the little hood there. And yet again, it works kind of like a little heating unit. So I think of what our Lord said in Matthew chapter 6. He said, if your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. But if he said, if it's not, the whole body is going to be full of darkness, and great is the darkness thereof. In other words, those little holes and those little red specks on the leaf, they're there, and their singleness of purpose is to let in the rays of the warming sun. Now, I tell you, sometimes God, by his very divine choice, let some holes get punched in your life through troubles and trials and disasters and heartaches and heartbreaks. But you know what? The Lord lets that happen so the sun can get through and keep the heart warm on the inside. I think of what is said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 46 and 7. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, that is fellowship, did eat their meat or their food with gladness and singleness of heart. And verse 47 said, and the Lord added daily to the church such as were being saved. You see, the Lord has a purpose in that little leaf. And even those little holes that get punched in your life sometimes. God's not destroying you, but he's just opening up so the sunlight can come through. And I was reminded when I thought of that, I thought of Paul in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18 when he said this, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It is the living Word, the Son of God, that keeps you warm in an old cold world. Cold, frigid men and women in relation to spiritual things, but it's not only the living Word, it's the written Word as well. Remember those disciples on the road to Emmaus? They didn't recognize Jesus when he walked with them. But they said, after it departed, did not our hearts, what, burn within us? Oh, they said, my soul, I just, in this old cold world, our Messiah had been crucified, and all of our hopes and dreams of Israel having the kingdom set up now, they're all gone. But all when he spoke, when the word came in, just warmed the heart. You have that? Oh, listen, sometimes your heart gets, you get cold in this old world. The world gives you a cold shoulder and they have no time for God. But you turn to the Word and the heart just gets warmed up. Isn't that right? But let me give you one more and I got to close. That well, not only that warm the plant, designed to do that, but there are leaves that prick and scratch. I want you to listen to me carefully. Sit up straight. Some leaves have sharp thorns. spines and prickles. You know what they do? They protect the plant from people and from animals. Prickles are sharp outgrowths, they tell us, outgrowths from the surface of leaves and stems. For example, the little holly leaf has those little sharp points on it. You pick them up and they'll stick you. They prick you. In other words, some people are like that. When you start getting close to them, you can get only so close or you're going to get stuck. I mean, they're not going to open up to you. They've got something inside. They don't want you to bother. And if you get tiptoeing around, I'll guarantee you, they'll let you have it. You'll wind up with a wound. It may be harsh words that are spoken. They're words that are spoken. Sting and wound the spirit. Words that are harsh and angry. And you know what it is? Word of God starts getting close to you and somebody getting close to where you really live. And the first thing you know, you'll bristle up like an old porcupine. Or even when the Lord does that. Some folks, believe it or not, when the Lord really gets to working on their lives through the preacher, they'll start gouging the preacher. And I've been stuck a lot of times, I'll guarantee you that. But the whole story is, it's not me. I'm just telling you about life, and the Lord's Spirit takes the Word of God, and He starts getting close to you. And boy, we just stiffen up, and we'll stick that old sticker out there. We don't want anybody getting close to us at all. Not at all. Then, I said it close. Let me just mention one other. Leaves that fall to the ground. I love the oak trees in my front yard. But I just, when they start falling. And you have to rake them up 40 times a month to keep the yard. I mean, you can't even tell you got a yard. And those leaves fall, but wait a minute. The leaves that fall to the ground and die become the fertile strengthening of the soil. And when we die to ourselves and we get out of the high altitude of praise of men, we fall to the ground having spent, gladly spent our lives. You know what happens? We leave behind a rich heritage. We leave behind rich soil in life. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you feed on yourself, you won't leave that behind. The thing that will enrich the lives of others is for you and me to die to ourselves. Die out to self-praise and desiring of the praise of men and the recognition of men and the place of position before men. Die out to that. And when you do, I want to tell you what, you're going to leave some enrichment in the lives of men and women. A selfish individual, instead of enriching the soil of life that he leaves behind him, poisons the life. But that person who dies to himself and surrenders to Jesus Christ, he can leave behind the rich heritage. That memory that is left behind, you know what it does? A selfless person. It encourages. It motivates. It enriches. I mentioned this. Papa's here tonight. Mama went home to be with the Lord, and she's with the Lord now. Seems only yesterday. But Mama left behind a rich, fertile heritage. When you think of her, you think of tenderness. You think of a humble soul who trusted and believed God, who loved. I don't know a person you ever did. I don't know. I never heard her say she didn't love anybody. I mean, she loved everybody. There's just a tenderness about it. She left that behind. Now, I will tell you something. I will leave behind the kind of memory that will encourage people. I will leave behind when my old leaf falls off the tree, perishes, and goes back to the soil. I want people's lives to be able to root, build, and grow as a result of what I've left. I don't leave behind something that'll damage them. A life of rebellion. A life of self-centeredness. I don't want that. I don't leave behind my children. The memory of a father who had no love for his children or his family or his loved ones and friends and his church. I won't leave behind that soil enriched by love. And I don't leave behind the memory of an old angry, hard to get along with, griping, growling, grumpy kind of a life. I don't leave that. I want my life just to start fading out. The old leaf will turn brown before long, and it'll fall from the tree and hit the ground. They'll shove me in the hole somewhere. But I want the heritage and the memory of my life to encourage and to bless. I want truth to be left behind. I want tenderness to be left behind. I want togetherness and love to be left behind. Don't you? When you look at the trees and say to your family, let's go look at the leaves, I hope you'll be reminded of some of the things I've shared with you tonight. What are you going to leave behind, dear man or woman, young person? If you were to meet God tonight, are you going to leave behind a testimony of one who not only trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, but one who walked with Him, one who lived in His fellowship, one who was faithful to Him? What are you going to leave behind? You'll leave behind someone who was so weak they just fell into everything that come along and joined in every group and every wild party that came along. Are you going to leave behind someone that they can look up to and say, hey, there's a pattern for my life? The children whom God gives you or may give you, will you leave behind for them footprints and the sands of time they can follow to the cross of Calvary? May God help you tonight. If you've never been saved, if you have never really been born again, let Jesus into your heart. He died for you. He went to the cross, took your sin, all your guilt, the wickedness of your life and mine, paid the price, died for us. But though He died and was buried, the Bible tells us that He rose again on the third day. Now ever lives to make intercession for us who trust Him at the right hand of the Father. Do you know Him tonight? Will you be reminded when you see the beauty of the leaves this fall? Will you be reminded of the Creator who loved you enough to make even this old world a beautiful place? And even to do more than that, to make your life beautiful and wonderful and lovely and enjoyable and a blessing. May God help us. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. Let me ask a question as we close. I wonder how many people here tonight. You say, Brother Burl, the life that I live is not like those bracts you talked about. They're not really enhancing the beauty of Christ to those with whom I work, go to school. They're not really seeing Jesus. And I want them to see Christ. I want to be that kind of leaf that you talked about that's just a vase to hold up the beauty and the wonder of Christ. That's what I want. But I realize there's some things in my life that just keeps that from being possible. And I realize that though I'm saved, things are just not what they ought to be in my life. I hadn't been faithful to God. I hadn't been obedient to God. I don't know what it may be. But you'll say, preacher, remember me in prayer tonight. I know I'm saved, but I'm not really the kind of Christian I ought to be. And I want to be, by God's grace. Will you pray for me? Slip your hand up right now, will you? All over this house. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. That's what I want to be, folks. I want to be like those bracts. Just hold up Jesus. And I want to, listen, I want to have that, I want to, even when the hard times come in my life, and God knocks a few holes in this old leaf, I just want it to be where the sun can come through and warm me on the inside. When I fall from that old tree of life, I want my life to enrich the life of someone else. The Lord told Simon Peter, said, Peter, the day's coming when somebody have to dress you. You're going to lose your sight. You're going to have to be led around. But He said, this spake He of the death that he should die, whereby he would glorify God. So even in life and even in death, the child of God ought to be lifting up Jesus. I wonder how many folks here tonight say, preacher, there's a decision in my life as a born-again Christian I'm facing, and I want to make the right choice that Jesus could be glorified in my life. Please remember me in prayer tonight, too. Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. One other question. How many of you here tonight say, Brother Walter, I'm not saved. I know that. No ifs and ands about it. There has never been a conscious moment in my life when I knew I was a sinner and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I don't know that I'm saved, but I know I need to be, and I don't want to meet God like I am. I want you to pray for me. If so, would you slip your hand up and take it right back down? I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. Would you just slip your hand up and say, preacher, I'm concerned about my soul. I'm concerned about my destiny, and I want you to pray for me, someone, anywhere. All right, let's stand to our feet, please. Our heads are bowed. Let's have just a brief prayer for many of you who lifted your hand, Father. Now we pray for so many of the folks here tonight, your precious children. Lord, children whom you love, whom you desire to bless, to enrich, and to warm. Now we pray, Father, that whatever they face, if it be a decision, Lord, if it be some area of life that's keeping them from really enhancing the wonder and the beauty of Christ to others, maybe it's some attitude, maybe it's words they say, places they go, habits they indulge in, things they do. Lord, just trim that away from us. And then, Father, there may be some here tonight, though they did not lift their hand, that's really not saved. Oh, what a tragedy for them to live through their life and to die without a Savior and not know a heaven for eternity. May they come to you tonight. And then, Father, some who are saved maybe need to come and let folks know by publicly coming forward that I'm saved. And maybe some need to come and present themselves for baptism who are already saved and they want to unite with this church. And maybe some need to move their church membership. We pray that you'll have your way in that. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a stanza soul of Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter. I'm the clay. If you'll do that, you'll never regret it. Let Him have His way in your heart tonight. If you need to come united with our church, promise a letter from a church of like faith. Or if you've been saved, you've never come for baptism, you need to do that. And if you are a Christian, you've drifted away from God, oh, this is the right time. This is it. This is the time to really let the Lord trim your life up so you can enhance the wonder and the beauty of Christ. Let's sing it together, Carl. Join with us and you come while we sing right now.